series should be called The Parable of the Father's Love. I'm going to continue this morning by looking at the last few verses from Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, and just those verses 25 to 32. So we look at together at the brother's input, or the brother's part in the story, the older brother. Meanwhile, the story goes, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. "Your brother has come," he replied, "and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back, safe and sound." The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him." "My son," the father said, "you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." Let's ask the Lord's blessing upon our words. Father, we ask that you bless the words that I speak. And that, Lord, you will use the meditation of my heart by your Spirit to stir us all up to understand what you are saying to us. May we gain from this a greater understanding of your love and your compassion and your mercy for all people. Amen. You know, last week we focused very strongly when we looked at this parable on the love of the father, and particularly for that younger son who wasted his life and yet returned in repentance and in turning. But today we come in the story to the climax, and it's a party. It's a big, noisy party with music and dancing. And the best food, the fattened calf. Of course, the guest of honour is the younger son, back once more. He's wandering around still in a daze. He keeps pinching himself to see whether he's dreaming or not. Just a few days before, he'd been starving to death in a pig pen of all places. Now he's at a party in his honour. And his old friends keep coming up and patting him on the shoulder and saying, "You lucky guy." And his father, whenever his father sees him, father seems to have this compulsion to come and hug him. But there's one person who is obviously absent from the party, and it's the older brother. And the older brother is far from happy. He's not a happy chappy at all. He's extremely angry. You see, the father, the older son had been working late as normal out in the fields. As he came back from the fields, he heard the noise of the party. Well, who wouldn't? You could hear it from Mars. But he doesn't go himself to investigate. He gets hold of his servant. And the servant finds out for him what's been happening. He comes back and he says, "The party is for your brother. He's come back. And your father's received him with great joy." And no doubt he told him about the coat, and he told him about the ring, and he told him about the sandals, and he definitely told him about the fattened calf. And the older brother is just so angry about this. And he refuses to go in. He's not going to go in the house, he's going to stay outside. You may have had times when you've been angry like that and you've refused to do something. You can understand that. But even though he's not going to go in the house, he makes sure that the Father knows that he is there and that the Father knows that he is very cross. And then he waits for the Father to make the next move. And even as the Father had moved so quickly to welcome the younger son when he came back and to pour out upon him his love, his forgiveness and his acceptance, so we see the Father once again who goes. He now moves as quick as he can out to find the older brother. And what a picture of God, the Father, this is. Always reaching out with his love to us. Whether we are lost souls waiting to be rescued, or whether we're believers who are out of alignment with God, out of alignment with God's love. For that, I believe, was the position of this older brother. He was in the family. He was greatly loved by his father. But he didn't really know the father. He felt he knew his father. But in reality, the picture he had in his heart of his father was all wrong, all screwed up. He thought his father was one he had to work hard to impress always, to get love from. But his father wasn't like that. And because he had this picture, this rather wrong picture of his father, he had expectations of the way his father should behave. And when the father didn't behave like that, when when the younger son came back, instead of saying to the younger son, "Get out of my sight," and send him away with a flea in his ear, instead of doing that, when he had welcomed him home and thrown a party for him, well, that was all wrong as far as the older boy was concerned. And that made him angry. And that made him confused. And the reason for the older brother's attitude becomes apparent when we take a closer look at the words that he spoke to the father. Do you know there's just three sentences he spoke? That's all Jesus had him say. But in those three sentences, we've got this insight into his state of heart, his state of mind. Just have a look at those verses. This is what he said. Now, as I read them to you, think about the strength of some of these words. "Look, all these years I've been slaving." Did you notice that? "Slaving for you. And never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours," did you notice that? "Who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him." Some words that really stand out there, don't they? They are words said in the heat of the moment, but they tell us so much of the way he felt inside. This guy's holding nothing back. This young fellow, we can understand or can appreciate, well, this is what Jesus wants us to see, was a man who had lived his whole life in an effort to earn his father's love. He had worked so hard. His language of love had therefore obviously been acts of service. And yet to him it felt that he had slaved away those years and received very little for it. He had kept the rules. That's how he saw them, rules. He obeyed the orders. And as far as he concerned, he had never been given anything and never wanted to receive anything, really. Because he wanted his father to see him as the guy who didn't need anything, but could give, 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 and never stop giving. As far as he was concerned, he had earned the right to be treated as the most favoured son. But it's just not happening. And the very fact that the father was now happy to overlook all these wrongs that his brother had committed, well, that hurt him. He didn't want a father that was that fickle. He didn't want a father who could forgive so quickly. He didn't need a father who could forgive so quickly. And in the father acting as the father had acted towards the younger son, it made him feel that his attitude to his brother was wrong. It made him feel that he was the bad one, not the brother. You see, he had dismissed his brother as soon as the brother had left. And when he heard the rumours about what his brother was doing, he had dismissed his brother from his life and from the family. That was it. Gone. He wiped him out because of his wrongdoing. And now when he talks to his father about his brother, he doesn't refer to him as my brother. He doesn't use his name. He says, this son of yours. Of course, his parable is just a story, isn't it, that Jesus told. But everyone there, everyone in that crowd, guessed who the older brother represented. The Pharisees and the self-righteous people. See, they also believed that they had earned a good standing before God because of all they had done. The 300 plus rules that they kept. The way they hadn't disobeyed. The way they worked long hours for God. They believed that they had this good standing. And now for Jesus to suggest, as Jesus did, not just here but many other places, that sinners could attain the same good standing before God simply by saying, I'm sorry, was not only despicable to them, but it undermined the whole position that they worked so hard for. Can you see that? But Jesus also cared about those Pharisees, those self-righteous. He called them a lot of harsh names along the way. But he was always there for them. Remember Nicodemus? And the words of the father in the parable to the older son show that the love of God extends to them as well. We need to look at verse 31, which is the father's reply. My son, the father said, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. In the story, the father does not condemn the older son for his attitude. In fact, in complete contrast, he emphasizes his sonship and the closeness they have as father and son. You are always with me is more than just a physical thing. You are always in my heart and my thoughts. You don't have to slave for my love. You have it. You've always had it. And everything I have belongs to you. You can have 100 fatted calves if you really want. And it's always been that way. The only restriction to you receiving has been in your mind and in your behaviour. You haven't wanted it. You haven't sought it. But it's been there for you. But we had to celebrate when your son came back, my son came back. We had to celebrate. Even if I have to have mercy and compassion, for that is the type of father I am. And I won't change that. And though you don't think you need my love, my compassion, my mercy, I am that way to you also, and will be in the future. And this son of mine, as you put it, who I so readily embraced, is also this brother of yours. Did you notice that? Now, I'm sure we can understand where that older boy is coming from. I know I can understand that. Perhaps you might even sympathize with him. For it's human nature to become judgmental, become Pharisaical, become, I guess, a little mean in our response, particularly to those who deserve rebuke rather than forgiveness. But we too need to allow God to touch our hearts. Perhaps even this morning bring names of those that we've been treating just like this older brother was treating the younger brother. People that we've wiped out, people that we don't talk to or avoid, don't even perhaps pray for. And the Lord says to us, hey, accept them anew. Because you see, God loves them. He loves them just as much as he loves us. And that despite the way they've hurt him, and often hurt us, and hurt others who are dear to us, he loves them. And he cares for them as much as he loves and cares for us who serve him so hard and so faithfully. It hardly seems fair, does it? But that's what the scripture says. That they too are our brother and sister in the human sense of the world, whose return into God's family should be one of the things that we desire above everything else and work towards. That older boy felt that his brother had broken the rules, and he really had. But he also felt there was no room for compassion, kindness, and mercy. Even though the brother had turned, he still didn't feel there was any room for that. He felt that he had lost any right of appeal. But what God the Father says is there's always a chance, isn't there? There's always compassion and mercy with me, God says, always. And I sense that in this parable, we have the father saying to the older brother, look, you may feel that you haven't needed to benefit from my love, forgiveness and compassion. But you have. Not to the extent that your brother, that's for sure, but you have. Now open your heart to your brother, as I've always opened my heart to you. Align your love for your brother with my love for him. We're not on the same track at the moment. Let's get back together. And also with my love for you, because it's the same. And that's what God wants us to do, and maybe one of the hardest things for us, isn't it? To become like God in the way we love others. To align our love with his. To see past the sin that is so easy to condemn. To a person for whom Christ died. And to love others, to show them the compassion that God shows them. To ask God to help us to do that. And to support God as he does that. And to keep at the forefront of our thinking that such is the way God loves, even the most undeserving. And especially, that's just how he continues to love us. And aren't we glad about that?